Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 1. If you're there, stand to your feet to reverence the word of God, please, just for a moment. First Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now in the days of Eli, God wasn't speaking to them. There was a day of no open vision. God seemed to be shut up. Heaven seemed to be shut up. God seemed not to be communicating with His people. And there was a reason for that. Until Samuel came. Verse number 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to be waxed dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel and answered, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down again. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. I like to say, Samuel, Samuel, when I read it to the kids. Amen. Maybe I'll do that for you. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. He answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto Samuel. Now there comes a time at an early age that the child is safe in the arms of God and not really saved. And this is given an example of that. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. All right? Verse number 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, excuse me, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lie down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen. I'm glad the Lord speaks to us. Amen. Samuel finally got it right here. He didn't know what was going on, did he? But he got it right by guidance of the prophet Eli. Verse number 11, And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Seems to be a pretty big word for a little boy. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'd like to ask Sam that you lead in a word of prayer tonight, brother. Amen.
What I pray tonight, Lord, you'll touch our pastor. Lord, you'll give him the option he needs.
Yes.
The liberty he needs. What I pray is the Holy Spirit will guide him as he preaches tonight. God, more than that, Lord, I pray you'll touch the hearts of people here, Lord. Lord, I know each and every one of us, Lord, have different needs. Lord, we need help. That's why we come to church, Lord. To be renewed, be revived, and Lord, to get some help, and Lord, this is a place of refuge. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that that prayer will be answered, Lord, that you'll walk up and down these pews, you'll touch people's hearts.
Amen.
Lord, we'll walk away with our hands raised high, praising you, Lord, for what you've done.
Amen.
How good you've been.
Yes.
And how you met with us. And Lord, how our life was changed and how our life was rearranged and redirected. Lord, I pray tonight, God, please, Lord, that you would come down. Lord, you would just touch us, whatever needs we have.
Yes.
Lord, you know what's coming ahead tomorrow. Lord, you know what we're going to face tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you would give us something today that prepares for tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you might touch us. Lord, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for
yes.
your touch and your love.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would put your hand upon my brother. Lord, use his vocal cords to speak your words to us. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor
yes.
and praise. And we're looking forward, Lord, to what you're going to tell us out of your book tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I just want to give you a few things tonight about the life of Samuel. And we preached a message this morning on Hannah and how that Hannah was given a son that was Samuel, and that God honored Hannah's prayer. And Samuel was given to Hannah because of a prayer that she prayed, and Hannah honored God with what God had given her, and she gave him back to the Lord, gave him and brought him before Eli the priest there in chapter 1, chapter 2. You'll find in the book of Samuel here that Hannah brought Samuel back to the priest and gave him to God, and she rejoiced, and her heart rejoiced, the Bible says, and her horn was exalted, her mouth was enlarged, and she rejoiced in the salvation, and she said that she made a proclamation that none was holy as the Lord, and that none, there was none else beside thee, none like unto the Lord, and that she said that there was neither is there any rock like our God. Can you agree with that tonight? Still after so many years, that there's none other God like our God. Amen. There's no other king like our king. No other savior like our savior. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And here you have Samuel coming on scene. Now Samuel is going to be a priest, and he is in the lineage. He is in the priesthood, the lineage of Levi. And what happened here in the, I want to explain just a little bit what happened to the preacher. What happened to the preacher? You could title this message that, it'd be all right. What happened to the preacher and his family? But what happened to Eli is Eli had some sons that started living in sin and playing around with wicked things and with the world. Eli's kids didn't honor their faith, didn't honor God, didn't honor the Bible. And I don't know if they was taught right or if Eli was too busy. And we got to be careful about being too busy for our children to teach them the things of God. And y'all pray for me. Amen. Sometimes I do the same thing. And I want my kids to grow up, and I want them to be better than I ever wish I could be for the honor and the glory of God. But Eli's sons turned bad. I mean, they turned wicked, turned sinful, did things that a man ought not do, and did things that a priest, the Levite, children of God, should never, ever do. They desecrated the temple. They desecrated the offering of God. They desecrated the sacrifice which God had given them to make. All the things that were supposed to be pure become sinful. All the things that were supposed to be holy had wickedness involved in it. And God chastised here. You'll see what I read this evening by Samuel, the young lad. Samuel probably was around the age of 10 years old. If I was just guessing, throwing a number out there, probably somewhere around the age of 10. All of a sudden, Samuel gets brought by his mother to Eli and to the church house, and his mother gives Samuel, said, "I want you, Eli the priest, I want you to use my son. I want you to take my Levite son. God gave him to me, and I'm giving him back to you. And I want you to use him, raise him up in the house of God, teach him how to do the sacrifices, teach him how to kill the animals and bring in the blood, and how to sprinkle it on the altar, and how to do all the rituals of the temple and for the sins of the people." And that's what Hannah wanted for her son Samuel, and that's exactly what Samuel did. So what happened here, though? But to get back to Eli and his sons, Eli didn't honor God with his teaching of his sons. His sons, the Bible says here in verse number 13, that his son, it says, "I will judge the house forever for the iniquities which he knoweth." So Eli knew that his sons were living in sin and let them. You know what I mean? Eli knew that they were doing wrong. And it says, because he restrained them not. Can I say first, children need restrained. Amen? Children need restrained. I mean, I thank God for a mother that restrained me at times. Amen? And a father that restrained me. Amen. No is a good word at different times. Amen? Yes. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that we need some mothers that will restrain the children. A lot of mothers, the children will run and they won't obey them, and they'll go and they won't give them nothing to make them feel, you know, to make them know that mom and daddy means business. And they'll say, well, come back up here, I'll give you this, or come back up here, I'll give you that. You know what I mean? Come do this and I'll give you something. It's either you do what I say, or I'm going to give you something or not. I'm going to give you a bruising. Amen? I mean, the Bible says that to chasten your son while there is hope, let not thy soul spare for his crying. That's what the Bible says. If thou chasten him betimes, he'll not die, but thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I still believe in old time paddling, spanking the kids. That's why you've got a padded spot on your hind end. It ain't for sitting down all the time. Somebody go to church with me. But it's for chastisement. I thank God I had a mom and daddy that restrained me. That's what happened here. The iniquity and the sin of Eli. Well, he didn't restrain his sons. He let his sons grow up, let them sow their wild oats, let them do what they wanted to do. And that's not how to raise children according to the Word of God. We're responsible. I'm not trying to preach a parent message, but it seems like God wants me to say this. But we're responsible to teach them the fundamentals of the faith. Faith. I believe your children ought to know what you believe and why you believe it. And before they get 18, they ought to know what they believe. Anyway, that's a side note. Praise God. Pay me later. All right? Now, Samuel was raised up. He's probably about 10 years old. And when he got to this, got to the priest here with Eli, and all of a sudden Samuel hears from heaven. For the first time, God speaks to Samuel. And we read that. And of course, Eli directed him. Eli knew what was going on. I believe Eli knew what was going on. He knew that God had done told Eli that he was going to suffer some things, and that God was going to chastise Eli and his sons. And the Bible says the whole house. When one man sins, the whole house suffers. That's what the Bible's saying right here. And so here comes Samuel, 10-year-old boy, given by God. He had. Can I say, first of all, about Samuel, the thing about Samuel is his birth was a supernatural birth. And Samuel's birth, he wasn't even supposed to be born. You know what I mean? What, his mama wasn't even supposed to have children. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it wasn't going to happen until she prayed. So his birth was supernatural. God gave Hannah that boy Samuel, and Hannah gave him back to God. Can I just run a rabbit and say I'm glad for my supernatural birth? Amen. The Bible says you must be born again. Amen. You must be born. I've been born once in the flesh, but born second in the spirit. Amen. Hey, born with life from the family of God into God's family divine, justified freely from Calvary's love. Oh, what a stain in his mind. I have been born again, not with corruptible seed, amen, but with incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Hey, my first birth brought death, but my second birth brought life. My first birth brought sin. Hey, but my second birth brought salvation. My first birth, hey, you know, it's a lot of pain and agony. Hey, but grace is all over the second birth, and mercy is everlasting. Hey, my first birth will lead me in the wrong path. Hey, but my second birth will lead me to heaven, thank God. And so there's a supernatural birth. It was a miracle birth. He was a miracle child. A lot of children are born these days, and we call them miracle babies, right? That's what Samuel was. He was a miracle baby. And Hannah was proud. So is Jesus. He's a miracle baby. He ain't a baby no more. He's a miracle all the way, man. He performed miracles from his birth all the way till his resurrection on the third day. Could you imagine Jesus? Boy, your mind will go. Could you imagine Jesus needing another bottle, and his mama, he drinks one bottle and mama goes and gets another one. When she comes back, his bottle's full again. He's like, woo! He said, he didn't do that. You don't know it. You don't know it. Leave me alone. Praise the Lord. All right, but Samuel here was raised in this temple, raised here for the priesthood, and the name Samuel means the name of God or God has heard. And I'm just going to bring out some things about Samuel. Samuel was visited by an angel right here. He was visited by an angel. And so was Isaac. Ishmael was visited by an angel. Jacob was visited by an angel. Esau and Perez and Samson's mother and dad. There's all the parents was and John the Baptist's mother, dad, Zacharias, I think, was it? Was it Zacharias? John the Baptist's dad? Is that right? He was visited by an angel, and so was Joseph and Mary. They're all visited by an angel. And so that's what happened here. And he saw this angel right here, and God, it was God talked to him. And he gave him the prophecy that Samuel was gonna have to tell Eli. Now what Samuel had to do, he went back and told Eli what God had told him. And that was a hard thing for a little boy to do, I guarantee you. But he was from the tribe of Levi, which is the lineage of King David. And if you'll read Matthew chapter number 1, it gives the lineage of Jesus Christ. It even mentions Rahab the harlot and Boaz. Somebody help me. And I mean all kinds of mismatches and all kinds of mistakes in the lineage that's been fixed by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I said Hannah wasn't supposed to have a child. Hey, but God had given them a miracle baby. And it was Samuel, hey, given by God. Amen. And God used Samuel to be the judge of Israel. Amen. Now, Samuel was the last judge of Israel. And you find that when Israel was delivered out of bondage, that Moses was their leader, right? And after Moses died, there was Joshua. All right, help me now. Joshua died, and then God raised up judges to judge the people. And the judges was raised up like Samson was raised up to deliver the children of Israel away from their enemies. The judges was raised up to deliver them. That's what there's 12 judges of Israel. That's what they was raised up for. Now after the judges, Samuel was the last judge, okay? And after Samuel, not after he died, but before he died, he anointed Saul king. And then Saul messed up and got fouled up, messed up and fouled up. And then he anointed David king. And then he died. Okay, that's what happened to Samuel. But here's some things. He's the last judge. I like that. And Jesus Christ is going to be the last judge. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of the Father. Jesus will get the last word and he's going to judge the world. Amen. He's going to judge and he's the judge that keeps us away from enemies. Now, Samuel was God's spokesman to the people when God was silent before. You understand, I read this verse number 1, that there was no open vision until Samuel showed up. And then Samuel was brought up as a young child, pure and holy, in the priesthood, in the lineage, taught the things of God, not the things of the world. It'd be good for us to do that to our children. Spend more time introducing them biblical examples and morals and the things of God than sitting them in front of TV and letting the TV introduce them all the filthiness of the world. Amen. Somebody go to church. And while I'm on a rant right now, and I'm called a preacher, and so I'm supposed to preach. You grandmas, hey, don't spoil your kids with that, what they call the boob tube, amen? Hey, Fred, don't put them in front of that and let that thing babysit them. God has given you gray hair. That's a sign of wisdom. That's a sign of knowledge and wisdom. And you've got a lot of wisdom to teach them youngins. Take some time to teach them about what happens when this happens, or take some time to spend with them children, amen? That's why grandmothers is all about. All right, I don't know where I got that from, but anyway. Oh, well, Samuel didn't hear from God. I mean, Samuel heard from God, but Eli and his sons, for years, they didn't hear. There was no open vision. Heaven was shut up. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like heaven was dark and shut up and like brass? And you'd pray and pray. Well, that's what happened to Eli and his sons. And the reason that heaven was shut up for Eli and his sons and all of Israel because of one thing, idolatry, worshiping idols. That's what was practiced. And they was misusing the house of God. And so God took up to God hurt, had mercy and grace on it long enough. God took it long enough, and finally he shut up heaven. That's what happened until Samuel came. We talked about this morning just a little bit. Samuel came, and the first thing Samuel hears is from heaven. Ain't that good? Amen. Did you know it was I covered that this morning, from Malachi to Matthew, there's 400 years of silence until the birth of Jesus Christ. And thank God that Jesus was God's Son. He was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all in one. And he spoke, came in, and he spoke and did mighty miracles and wonders. And thank God for that. All in his ministry. All right? Now, Samuel was a great priest. So is Jesus Christ. He's the greatest priest. Amen. Samuel, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse number 18, you read that Samuel led a great Passover. Samuel led a great Passover. Now, these are some things that is covered underneath his supernatural birth. Can I say God had a plan for Samuel in his life? I mean, you see, the things that I read to you was designed and decorated by God. God designed them. God had it wrote out, and God had a will and gave it to Samuel, and Samuel followed it. And thank God that I'm sure Samuel made mistakes like you made mistakes and I made mistakes. Hey, but Samuel tried, to live for God to the best of his ability, stayed in the church, stayed in the place that God designed for him, and did the work of God and judged Israel that God has told him to do. Samuel stayed there, and God honored Samuel. He had a supernatural birth. Amen. And he was led by the Spirit of God. Heard the voice of God and walked day by day listening to the voice of God. Now, number two, I believe Samuel had a separated life. Samuel had a separated life. You see from verse 7 to verse number 11 that Samuel, I read this already, that Samuel saw and he had this vision. He heard from God. He wasn't like Eli's sons. There's something different between Samuel and Hophni and Phinehas. Now, I've been raised right, but I've done wrong. But I got to tell you, hey, if you raise your kids pure and righteous and holy the best way you can bank it down. They're going to be able to hear from God. They're going to be, God will, they'll have a relationship with God. Amen. Hey, they'll be separated for God, be used by God. Samuel lived a separated life. Could you imagine every day you woke up in church? Went to bed in church. Woke up in church. If you didn't live there, you woke up and went outside of church. I believe that they lived there in this area. And the reason I say that is because the lamp of God went out in the temple. You read that. And they knew it. They went to bed. It says Eli went to bed. Samuel went to bed ere the lamp of God went out. They stayed awake till that lamp, all the oil burned out of the lamp, and they went to bed. That's what they did. The next morning they got up, put some oil, lit the lamp. That was one of the jobs of the Levites that they were supposed to do. Keep the fire burning. I said that was one of the jobs of God's people, the Levites in the church, that they were supposed to do. Keep the fire burning. That was one of the jobs that the church people, hey, God's people that was gathered together, hey, when they got up, they had a lot of fire. Somebody help me. That's what they tried to do. And so he lived a separated life. I mean, he was raised up in the synagogue, in the tabernacle, and doing the priesthood, and raised up doing the yearly sacrifices and Passover. That's all he knew. He didn't know honky-tonks and dance halls, and he didn't know beer and drinking and all that stuff. He probably heard about it. Hey, but he stayed separated. Can I say a Christian who has had a supernatural birth ought to have a separated life? Amen. Hey, it's Bible, friend, from A to Z. God said, come up from among him and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and touch not the unclean thing. Draw nigh to God, and I'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I quoted you three verses. It's not my opinion to be separated from the world, but it's Bible. Amen. Now, I don't think you ought to be so separated that you can't work and you can't talk to somebody and you can't look at somebody and you can't witness to them. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you don't want to just go live in a rock somewhere. God put you to be light and salt. Amen. We're supposed to be, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Yeah, man, but we ought to be separated. We ought to walk and be different. That's what Samuel had a separated life. You look in verse number 19. And Samuel grew in the Lord, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan unto Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now Samuel was established in the word of the Lord. That's how to be separated, okay? I know that Samuel was separated because he heard from God, number one. Number two is because he was established in the Word of God, and everybody knew it. Somebody go to church with me. Y'all listening? Heard from God and was established. That means rooted and grounded in the Word of God. He was solid Bible believer. He knew the Word of God, and he didn't just know it, but he lived it. I'm tired of talking to people that know the Bible, and their life betrays them. I'd rather have a drinker, I'd rather have a dope addict, I'd rather have a harlot walk in here and say, I'm a harlot, friend, can I have some help? I'm a doper, can I have some help? I'm a drunkard, can I have some help? Than to have a religious Pharisee, hey, that's covered all the things, but is lost on the way to hell. You can't help them, but you can help the ones that are needing it. Somebody go to church with me. Establish in the Word of God. All right, I want you to look at this. He was separated because of his stand with God's Word. God's Word will separate you from the world. It always will. If you stand with the Bible, people will go the other direction. I mean, they'll automatically make a separation. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you shouldn't have got saved. Well, if I wouldn't got saved, I'd have been gone to hell. Yeah. So get on the Lord's side, stay on the Lord's side, live on the Lord's side. Somebody go be on the Lord's side. Hey, separate yourself. I'd rather be on God's side, hey, than the enemy's side anyway. Friend, I'd rather be on David's side than Goliath's side. Hey, because God took a little stone and a little lead and did a great work, and that's manifestation of the power of God. And beloved, he'll do that with you, and he'll do that with me when we walk with God and walk in his word. Word. He was establishing a word, and he gave them the word of judgment because of idol worship. You see in chapter 4 that Samuel, he says, come out of all Israel. He said, now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched in Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. Now I'm not going to read this whole scripture to you because I'm trying to let you go before too long, okay? But what happened in this chapter is the ark of God was taken from the temple. Eli died. Hophni and Phinehas died. And Eli fell backward and died whenever he heard that the ark of God was taken. Eli's daughter-in-law was having a child at the same time. She was great with child. And when she heard, she delivered the message to Eli. Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's son died. The ark of God was taken. And his daughter-in-law had a baby. She died. He lived, and they named him Ichabod. And the definition of Ichabod is the glory of God has departed. The glory of God has departed. What a sad thing when a church doesn't have the glory of God. What a sad thing when the church is so corrupt because, like Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, and there's so much sin in people's lives and so much wrong in throughout the week being involved in Christians and the things that this world do, that this world has and that Christians are involved in, and they put God in the middle of everything, every sinful thing and every wrong thing. Somebody help me. They put God in all of it, and God says, I'm not in it. I'm not in it. I'm not of it. He said, you cannot have God and mammon. And so what God does, God withdraws himself from you. You know exactly, there's not a Christian in here, hey, that doesn't know what I'm talking about. You've done things wrong in your life, and all of a sudden you can't pray right, and you can't have church right, and you feel like you're backslidden half the time. Why do you feel like that? It's because you are, and I am. Because of what we've done in our life, and that's what happened. So, but Samuel, he just jumped in. I see Samuel. He got in from 10 years old. Is there anybody saved around 10 in here this tonight? Maverick, how old are you, bub? 8. See, Jonathan's 9. Jonathan, are you 9, right? He's close to 10. Could you imagine? I got saved when I was 7. I've been in church ever since. That's because I was drugged to church, amen. But I love it. I still love it today, Brother Mike. Hallelujah. I'm thankful in my heart for a mother and dad that brought me to church. I'm thankful that I can sing the old songs of Zion, and I know what I'm singing about, and I know God touches me. I'm thankful that I've been where the Holy Ghost of God was at, where the Spirit of God, where I heard the Word of God. And friend, I still desire that, and I still want that. May we never go to a church and be part of a wicked assembly where God has said, I will not speak to you, and where the Word of God has gone. God help us. It's important to live a separated life as a Christian. Every one of you in here tonight, it's important for you and I. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, friend, I got to tell you, there ain't no other church in town that'll preach just like this. Hey, friend, hey, I'm a separated preacher. I believe that. I'm sorry. Hey, you can fire me tonight if you want to. Hey, friend, but I'm going to go somewhere else and preach that God said, hey, to be separated, hey, to live right. You say, why? Hey, because there's a lot of dead churches that are thriving on other things. And friend, we ought to be thriving on the Ghost, the Holy Ghost of God, and friend, enjoying the trip and getting the Spirit of God moving in here. Having the right heart. He was separated. He was established in the Word of God. And this hurt God's people. You find that chapter 4, Samuel speaks. And there's a lot of things going on in these chapters. I mean, Samuel seems, he just kind of backs off the scene, Brother John. He just kind of says, Lord have mercy, that's a mess, kind of. And he backs off. The judgment of God was on the children of Israel, and they suffered many, many things. But Samuel says in chapter 7, look in chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse number 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth and from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. That's what he told them. A message of deliverance. Oh, thank God. This message of deliverance was a message of truth. You'll find some significant things. There was a stone of remembrance. The people said that they would repent. Samuel gets a stone, brings it out, and it's called a stone of remembrance. Chapter 8, he gives them a king, which was Saul. Then he anoints Saul to be king in chapter 10. The people desired a king, but Samuel was separated, stayed faithful and separated unto the Lord all of his ministry. You'll find in chapter 16 that Samuel anoints David king. Saul turns away from God. Saul begins to be prideful and begins to be lifted up in pride. And Saul gets so prideful that when people praise David for killing Goliath, he gets puffed up about it. All right? That's what happens. And so he gets mad, starts throwing daggers at David, little boy David, trying to kill him. All right? And I'm not going to read all these chapters to you. I'm just trying to go through this. But Samuel was in behind the scene the whole time. Samuel was right there, that little boy that Hannah had years ago. They say he was around 52 years old, something like that. At the time when he anointed David, anointed Saul, that time king, around them times. But he is a man of God. He stayed separated for the cause of Christ. Samuel anoints David king, and look in chapter 25, 1 Samuel chapter 25. And verse number 1. Here's what they say about Samuel's death. And Samuel died. And all Israel and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in the house of Ramoth. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. That's about all that was said of Samuel. You could almost say the same thing about Samuel like that they said about Enoch. And he walked with God and was not. I think Samuel walked with God and died. He walked with God, did the work of God, stayed separated to the Lord until the day of his death. I know that everything that Samuel did is not recorded in the Word of God, but he was faithful to God until his death. There's another scripture in chapter 28 and verse 3 that describes about the same thing in, that chapter 25 does. Thank God for Jesus, though. Jesus died and was buried and rose again. They couldn't keep Jesus down. He rose again that third day, third and glorious day. What a blessing. But here's a son, Hannah's son. I don't know when Hannah passed away. There's not a lot said in the Bible about Hannah, except what we read this morning, the first two or three chapters. You don't find Hannah anywhere else in the Bible. She had Samuel, gave him to God, and she was out of the picture. You find that later on, the next chapter, she made him a coat. Brought him a coat. So he could have a coat probably during the winter time to take care of his son, her son. But Samuel walked with God. He was separated unto the Lord. And I'd like to say that was a good son. I could only imagine how when Hannah heard about things that her son was doing, that she was proud in her heart that she had given her to God. You know, she didn't hear her son coming home after all night drinking. She didn't have to wait up all night for her son, worried if he was even going to be alive the next day. She didn't have to worry about her son stealing cars or committing sin and adultery like Hophni and Phinehas did. She gave him to God and honored God. It was a supernatural birth. That supernatural birth is awesome, ain't it? And a separated life proves that you can live faithful and holy unto God and be blessed by God and to stay abstinent from the things of the world. I believe that's what Samuel did in his life. And I believe that ought to be the desire of every child here tonight. I believe one of Samuel's greatest desires, number one, was to honor God. Number two was to honor his mother. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother, and thy days shall be long upon the earth. It ought to be the desire of every child that they should honor their mother and father. Hold to the teachings of the Word of God. Yes, your parents fail. There's not a parent that doesn't fail. There's not a parent that doesn't do something wrong at times that their children sees. Right? But we can go to them and we can ask forgiveness and be honest. Say, I'm sorry. I failed. I shouldn't have done what I did. That also teaches your child how to ask forgiveness. But one thing about it, when you raise your children in the Word of God and you live a separated life for the glory of God, not by works. Listen, there's a real fine line between why I live separated life. The Bible says the commandments of the Lord are not grievous, but there's a lot of Christians that have it all separated. They're living by the law, but there's no life in them. There ain't no life in that stuff. And the children see that there's no life in it, and they fly the coop. I'm talking about the life where the Spirit of God is, where the voice of God is heard, where the Word of God is preached, where the Word of God is established in the young man's heart. I cannot express tonight how important that is for our children. As we stand to our feet tonight, I'm just going to give a short verse of invitation in case the God's, I want to give you time to speak.